Welcome to the Fuller Chasing Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 11th of February, and I'm recording at 10:10 p.m., and that is Greenwich Mean Time here in what was a very sunny London earlier today. Okay, well, it's another grim day in stock markets. The really only good news item is that we're reaching some awfully oversold conditions in some markets. Of course, oversold conditions do not mean that the bear market is over. They just mean that we may well see a technical rebound, possibly starting tomorrow. Now, let's first take the Asia-Pacific region. First, Japan, weak again with the declines of, the Nikkei was only down 2.31%, but the others were down over 3%. And what's the culprit here? Well, global fear, but you also guessed it, the Japanese yen, 112.39 against the U.S. dollar. Now, that's not people retreating into the Japanese yen. What that really reflects is the unwinding of long positions in the Japanese stock market, in the general flight to cash. And of course, if you remember back over the last few years, that anybody who was advised to invest in Japan was also advised to hedge against the currency. So no wonder that the Japanese yen has been strong, and that's causing some concern, certainly for the Bank of Japan. Elsewhere in the Asia-Pacific region, well, it's pretty much all red. There are a couple of exceptions in a moment. And you have a number of markets that are closed, not least being China and Taiwan, also Malaysia. But of those that are open in here, how did we actually do? Well, the Hang Seng Index, it's mainland China that's closed, but the Hang Seng Index opened today down 3.85%, so taking a big hit. Also, the China Enterprise Index, almost down 5%. And looking at open markets here, well, we've got to drop down to South Korea, down over 3%, or nearly 3%. The Australian market, that was an exception, up 0.9%. So was Indonesia, up over 0.9%. India was hit hard. The Sensex index down 3.4%. So grim stuff. And that certainly spilled over into Europe. And actually, Europe has been a leader on the downside here this year in a big way. And we've got some huge declines showing here. The biggest down 5.6% is the Italian market, Spain not far behind at 4.88%. Italy was down 5.63%. A number of declines, most of the declines are over 3 to 4%, and that includes France and the Netherlands and Sweden, Switzerland. The Euro Stoxx 50 index down 3.9%. It's absolutely huge. on a relative basis, Germany doing rather well, only down 2.93%. But a lot of fear in Europe, obviously. And what are they fearful of? Well, they're all their ongoing problems for a good number of years. The migrant crisis, that's a big concern. The lack of economic growth, another big concern. The real possibility, as I've mentioned before, that we're seeing the early stages of a breakup of the euro, at least in terms of the way it's currently constructed here. And a lot of talk about the Brexit debate. Of course, that involves the United Kingdom. And there is a view shared, well, confirmed by the polls, that Cameron's, the concessions, that is, that David Cameron, the Prime Minister, was seeking, that while they were pared back somewhat, they're certainly a starting point and far beyond what was being talked about 6 months ago, at least by the Europeans. But what we also know is that there are a number of governments around the EU where people are just hoping that more generous concessions are actually provided for the UK so that these other countries can come up with their own lists. And clearly, we are going to get a major change here, rather awkwardly, if fought over, but a major change going to be taking place within these European economies and the EU and how that's actually run. I think that's a positive thing on a long-term basis. I think it's a hugely positive thing on a long-term basis. But, of course, it scares people in the short to medium term, and it's a good reason for people to back away from Europe, I suppose, in their thinking, despite some incredibly attractive valuations that are now available, not to mention oversold conditions, deeply oversold conditions that we see in these European indices. Well, on to Wall Street. And the best you can say is that it pared back declines, and actually quite significantly. The Dow least so. It was down 254 points, but it had been almost 400 points lower at one stage. It was still down 1.6%, but the other indices of the top three here, and with the S&P next, down just under 1.25%, so a lesser decline. And the NASDAQ Composite Index was only down just under 0.4%. So that did best overall, whereas it had been hammered in earlier weeks this year just because those high valuations and overextended momentum plays among many of the shares in that NASDAQ Composite Index were savagely sold in people just in the general flight to cash. Okay, what else here? Canada down 0.8%. Mexico, small decline, 0.4%, and Brazil, 2.6%. So still heavy selling on this lack of confidence generally in terms of what's going on here, fear over the sovereign wealth fund liquidations. Really, I think that my own view is that it's overdone, but equally, I look at the charts and I look at the overhead top formations and I look at the sentiment generally and I say, well, this is not a market in which people want to go rushing back in. If you disagree and are interested in buying here, I can certainly understand that, but I would do it incrementally. So I would do it gradually on weakness because markets are notorious for getting significant overshoots in both directions. And I'm just hoping that we won't see some sort of scary development 6 to 12 months from now that markets are accurately forecasting. But you know the old adage, or this is a variation of it, that stock markets will discount 9 out of the next one or two crises. Okay. In terms of government bonds, this indicates the level of fear that we've seen generally. You've had a lot of negative yields. And incidentally, I'm I'm going to go back to bank shares for a moment, which have been in free fall, not least the Japanese bank shares. One of the reasons for that is, of course, that they've got negative interest rates in a number of countries, including Japan and also in Europe and or in the EU. And so what that means is that banks, which of course are required to hold not insignificant cash positions, and they have to pay the government for the honor of banking with them. So that's not helping. Now, looking at U.S. 10-year treasuries, the yield is still trading after hours. When I last looked just a few minutes ago, it was at 1.659, and that's after, and note this, dipping as low as 1.528. Now that is the lowest since 2012, and the VIX index is at 28.14. And that's after a high on the day of 30.90, and it came back down to that 28.14 as Wall Street recovered part of the day's losses. And as I say, that partial recovery might just be enough, really, to cause some short covering and bargain hunting, perhaps, in stock markets tomorrow. But I'm not tempted to participate in this myself. Okay, looking elsewhere in terms of precious metals, that they remain strong. Some very good gains in here today. Now, palladium did least. It's at 524. Silver roared ahead and is at currently after hours 15.795, so nearly 15.8, and it was up at 15.99 at the high. And platinum, another good gain in here, up to 962. That's up over $28 here today. Gold bullion, very strong. It's gold and silver that are the biggest beneficiaries of the fear. And that's at currently, well, it's a settlement price here for gold at $1,247, nearly $1,248. That's up over $53 on the day. Now, needless to say, silver and gold look overbought in the short term, but more importantly, they've broken the overall downward trends that we've seen. And so we've had the first higher highs in a very long time for both gold and silver. The only caution that I would introduce here is that when you get precious metals over the decades, when we've seen them running up on fear, and I would argue that it's primarily fear here, although the somewhat softer dollar does not hurt right now. But it's hard to sustain levels of fear. And as confidence, well, as the fear gradually wanes and a little bit of confidence gradually comes back, that will leave precious metals susceptible to some sharp reactions. But my guess will be that the lows that we have seen all that not all that long ago is that those lows will hold. So we'll get some significant pullbacks, but forming higher reaction lows. Okay, what about that dollar? Well, the dollar index is trading here after hours at 95.578, so that is lower. I was saying what we really wanted to see on my wish list was to see that dollar index back in the low 90s. If it goes below, so much the better, but back in the low 90s, and it's in the mid 90s here right now. And so that's good news. And that takes it's no longer a headwind for commodities, and it's no longer a major risk for corporate and government borrowers who borrowed too much in dollars, partly because of the liquidity, and at a time when the dollar was much lower. It's also good news because it indicates that a pullback of this size suggests that this ranging phase that we see for that dollar index is going to continue for at least the medium term, which is something that I've been hoping for, and no doubt a number of other people as well have, and nowhere more so than at the U.S. Federal Reserve. And as you know, I suspect that intervention with the Treasury doing it for the Fed played a big part in knocking that dollar index back from the 100 level. Now, a few other currencies in here, the Indian rupee weakening, breaking down out of its current trading range over 68 for, against the U.S. dollar. But within Europe, we see a steady euro, 1.1320, a little bit too steady as far as Mario Draghi will be concerned, I'm sure. And sterling, 1.448. The key here for George Osborne, the Chancellor, is he doesn't want to see sterling stronger than the euro. And given again, the economic challenges, and also, although the UK economy is doing well relative to the European economies, it's still vulnerable here and trades a lot with Europe. So Osborne wants to keep the pound fairly soft here overall. And then there's the uncertainty caused by the Brexit situation. And elsewhere, the yen, well, I mentioned that earlier, 1112.4 against the dollar. Australian dollar firmed a bit in here to 0.7110. And industrial metals, though, they're weaker here today. That U.S. copper dipped to 201 cents. And we also see soft commodities, well, little mix, but the majority on the lower side. White sugar has fallen quite sharply in here today. Coffee also lower, and lumber lower. Among the gainers in the soft commodities that I can see on this screen, the most important one would be soybeans, but it's only a small gain. And on that note, well, we'll see if we get some rallies in stock markets tomorrow. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.